From WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. For neglected and abused children, foster parents offer stability, love, and a safe place to call home. Tawana Nolan, supervisor for out-of-home care in Harford County, talks about training and recruiting foster parents. And we speak to two foster parents, Darrow Brown of Baltimore City and Tracy Horseman of Harford County. Horseman says she and her wife worried that being a same-sex couple would be an obstacle, but it wasn't, and now they're fostering two toddlers.
The moment that I met the 21-month-old, it was just amazing. It was like, you're meant to be in our family. And her reaction to us was, she was right at home.
It's on the record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. The foster care system relies on adults to open their hearts and their homes to children who have faced abuse and neglect. The Maryland Department of Human Services says that as of October, more than 4,700 children in the state were in out-of-home placements, in group homes, residential facilities, with extended family members, or with foster parents. One group of eligible adults may not know that they can serve as foster parents, gay and transgender individuals. Later in the show, we'll hear from two LGBT foster parents about their experiences. Last month, we spoke to former foster youth about their experiences growing up LGBT while in out-of-home care. We'll have a link to that program at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. But first, joining me to talk about recruiting potential foster parents is Tawana Nolan, social work supervisor for out-of-home care in Harford County. She's worked in the foster care field since 1992. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
How many kids are in foster care currently in Harford County?
In Harford County, currently we have 178 children who are in out-of-home care placements.
And is that sort of where the level has been for several years, or is that a change from recent?
It definitely is a decline over the last 3 years of the number of children. I think probably 5-7 years ago, we almost had double that population, but we have tremendously brought that number down.
That's impressive. What brought it down?
I believe we have a lot more services that start prior to children coming into care to prevent them from entering out-of-home care, services to the families to assist them with maintaining their children in their homes. So providing them with referrals for if it's mental health and providing a case manager who can kind of really work with them has assisted with preventing that and getting families involved, extended family members to assist as well.
Does Harford County have enough foster parents?
Well, we have currently 70 foster homes that are licensed and approved here in Harford County. The difficulty that we find is that even with that number of families, which is a good number of families, is that not all of those families are at a place where they can meet the needs of some of the children that we have in care based on age, based on their needs, behaviors, and things of that nature. So we're always looking to increase our numbers specifically for the population of 13 years of age and above. Those are families that we are definitely trying to recruit.
So older foster kids is one of the categories where you're likely to need even more foster parents than you have.
Correct, because currently children between like the ages of 13 and 17, of that 178, we have about 31% who fall in that age range. Fortunately, here in Harford County, 70% of our children are placed in family settings, meaning that they're in a foster home from our agency or a treatment foster home provider or possibly with a relative provider.
What are the requirements of foster parents?
Well, one of the initial requirements that we have is that families can come to us and they have to complete a 27-hour pre-service training. prior to that. I mean, you have to be an adult. They can be couples, they can be singles, they can be married, unmarried, and then they start the process with us with attending a 27-hour pre-service training. The training is called PRIDE, which stands for Parents, Resources for Information, Development, and Education. And so they attend and participate in that training so that they can gain some understanding about developmental needs of children, the trauma that they experience, how to relate with families, and how to be ready to receive children who are coming to them from abuse or neglect.
That's Tawana Nolan here on the record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cass. She's the social work supervisor for out-of-home care in Harford County. We're talking about recruiting and preparing foster parents. How do you recruit people to be foster parents?
Here in Harford County, we've been very fortunate to have a great deal of word of mouth by our current foster parents who are able to share their experience and then have individuals that come to us by that means. And then we also go out in the community to various conferences that are held here in Harford County that are comprised of both social work professionals, community providers, and then the community at large. And so they also lend to our recruitment efforts.
Is there any specific outreach to LGBT individuals who may not be aware that they can be foster parents?
We have always been open to the LGBTQ community. We've never excluded. So I can recall many years ago, I'm talking 20 years or more, of a couple that we had that were resource families. So they've never been excluded. If a couple comes to us, they live in the same household, they're identified as adults, those that would be parenting the children, and they would go through the process as any other couple.
And likewise, the 27 hours of training that you talked about, the PRIDE training, is there any part of that that discusses fostering LGBT kids?
Yes, there is. We have incorporated that in the last several years because of there is a population amongst our youth who are in care who are LGBTQ. So we do talk about that with our families, not only those going through pre-service, but also those who have already been licensed. We offer them that opportunity to get information as well. Sometimes at their association meetings, we may have someone speak about the LGBTQ community, just to kind of alert them to be aware and so that they can better service our youth.
How long do most children stay with their foster parent or parents?
Usually children who come into out-of-home care average about 10 months in care. Now, obviously, there are those who may stay with us longer than that, but the average is about 10 months before they are able to transition either home with a parent or to some other permanent arrangement.
You've led exactly to what I wanted to ask next, which is what is the more common outcome? How often are foster children reunited with their families versus being adopted versus some other placement?
Here in Harford County, I think our rate is really good in regards to reunifying children with their families. The state of Maryland kind of gives us a guideline and a time frame of trying to meet a permanent planned living arrangement for a child within 15 months of them entering care. So during that time period, we are working with the family, working with the parent to bridge whatever areas, barriers that cause the child to come into care. I would say that, you know, reunification is one of the areas that I would say probably 30 to 40, if not more, percent of our children are returning home.
Another issue, WMAR Channel 2 reported that there's been an uptick recently in the number of children put into foster care in Baltimore City, a 30% increase from 2014 to 2017 in the average number of children placed in foster care. The news coverage attributed that increase to the rise in opioid abuse in Maryland. Are you seeing any impact from that in Harford County?
We have seen that impact. We've seen what we saw a great spike in last year were infants that were coming to us as substance-exposed newborns. And we had a great increased number of children who entered our system because of the substance exposure at birth. Currently, what we're seeing that number is declining very much because of the services that we're providing on the front end. So recognizing these individuals who mother is testing positive for substance at birth, providing some service to them and trying to maintain the child in the home with ensuring that the parents are getting the services that they need. Sometimes, despite that, the child may have to come into out-of-home care placement or a relative may be able to assist with caring for the child. But we are seeing a spike, and definitely, even without just the newborns that are coming in substance exposed, many of our children, their parents have substance abuse issues. Often what occurs is that we will have an issue that brings the child into care, and as we begin to work with them, often the root of that issue is substance abuse.
I'm grateful to you for giving us this overview. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Tawana Nolan is the social work supervisor for out-of-home care in Harford County. Quick break now. When we come back, two LGBT foster parents tell us why they've chosen to make room in their lives for children in need. I'm Sheila Cass. This is On the Record. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking today about the need for foster parents in Maryland, particularly in Harford County, and about breaking down myths about who can be a foster parent. LGBT individuals and couples are eligible and welcome to become foster parents. I'd like to introduce two foster parents. Darrow Brown lives in the city of Baltimore. He and his husband have fostered children through the city and the county. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
And Tracy Horstman. She and her wife are foster parents in Harford County. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So, Tracy, you and your wife became foster parents back in February.
Yes, ma'am. Well, one of my friends did foster care for a relative, and I watched her go through the whole process and the struggles, and there were some battles because it was because of opioid addiction within the family. And I was doing a phone interview that I'd had for in order for a background check. And the lady who had spoken to me on the phone, the last thing she asked was, "Are you interested in being a foster parent?" And I laughed at her and said, "Well, no, but I appreciate that. Thank you." And she says, "We'll keep it in mind." And from that point on, it kind of stuck in my head. And my wife and I have had discussions. We have a 9-year-old daughter, and we're not able to have siblings for her, and started having that discussion of, well, you know, maybe we would like to give back, and what's a good way to give back? Help children in need.
And so you're now fostering.
Yes,
a daughter in addition to your
two daughters. Siblings, yes.
They're how old?
21 months and 4 months old. The 4 months old we got at 2 days old, right out of the hospital.
Darrow, you and your husband have been foster parents for a decade, right?
Yes.
Tell us about it.
So we met in 2001, and we knew in the course of the beginning of our relationship that we wanted kids and weren't quite sure what avenues to go through to do that. We looked at private adoption, we looked at foster care, and we decided that we were going to go the foster care route as the method for growing our family. I'd love to say that we had some altruistic ideas and that it was all about service to the kids, but I think in the beginning it was really seen as a way of you know, developing and growing a family. It wasn't until we became foster parents and it probably experienced our first loss, our first foster son going back, that we realized that this was something that we wanted to do regularly, regardless of whether kids stayed or went home.
Since you have raised that, let me pick that up, because you have spoken about this very issue in a Stoop story and with the StoryCorps program, and we're going to link to both of those. You and your husband had to give up a little boy to his biological parents after fostering him for 3.5 years.
That's correct.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, we had a boy that was placed with us at 9 months old in October of 2007.
This was your first foster?
This was our first. We cut our teeth on this one. And he went home April of 2011, back to his biological mother and biological father. So, yes, he was with us for 3.5 years.
And this was a placement through the city?
Yes. At the time, we were Baltimore City. Foster parents were with the county right now, but at the time, we were Baltimore City foster parents.
And the guidance that we expect you to love this child as your own, but also be ready to give them up, was that already in place, or was this a bolt out of the blue for you?
So the way many cases work is that there's a lot of unknown about whether a child will stay or go. It often depends on the opinion of the court system. It depends on whether the parents are making progress or not progress. So throughout that 3.5 years, we really didn't know for certain what was happening at what time. Sometimes it was clear that he was staying. Sometimes it was clear he was going back. We were not at all prepared for 3.5 years. We did not have an understanding that that was how a case could go.
That seemed long to you.
Yes, 3.5 years seemed very long, especially given that he was so young when he came to us. So we loved him fiercely, like he was our own, because that's what we do and that's what we're supposed to do. But yeah, it wasn't, we did not expect the length, nor were we then ready to anticipate what it would feel like for him to return. And that was extremely difficult. That's an understatement.
This is On the Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast. I'm speaking with Darryl Brown, foster parent from Baltimore City, and also with Tracy Horstman, a foster parent in Harford County. We're talking about the need for foster parents and recruiting LGBT foster parents to serve. Tracy, some people must think, I couldn't do it. Having to return a child to their family sounds too hard. What kind of guidance were you given in this regard?
I would have to say in Harford County, we were given a lot of guidance. It was mentioned during the training that we received multiple times that reunification is our first goal. That is the number one goal, and you need to keep that in mind, that even if a child is going the path of adoption, up until the very end, it could end up working out where they end up not being adopted with you and go another route. It's whatever is best for the children. And my wife and I have to say that on a regular basis. And just the thought of losing them, I couldn't imagine after 3.5 years. So
you're fostering these two little ones.
Yes.
What has been the biggest challenge that you didn't expect?
You know, that's a good question. I'm not sure. To realize that I can love someone else's child almost immediately. The moment that I met the 21-month-old, it was just amazing. It was like, you're meant to be in our family. And her reaction to us was, she was right at home. Just loved us, and it's absolutely amazing. I never thought that I could do it. I never thought that it was possible.
Really?
Really.
Did you think it would be difficult to become foster parents because you're gay?
Yes, I did. I didn't think that it was even an option. In fact, we never attempted adoption because we didn't think that it was something that we were able to do.
How about you, Dara? Was that something you worried about too?
I remember when we started the process. So there's like 40 hours of training that you have to do in the beginning. And I reached out, I remember, before the training started, just to like make sure, can I come as well as my spouse? Like, am I allowed to be there? So yeah, I think there was a concern, like, how is this going to be handled? How are they going to process this? Am I going to be sort of an official sort of member or what? I really wasn't sure. So there was some concern in the beginning that there would be some pushback, and there was, but that was 10 years ago. But there was a bit of pushback about whether I should be in the same class as him, whether I should get the certificate. I was called the backup resource instead of foster parent. So my spouse was seen as the foster parent, and I was the backup person that happened to be living in the same house. So I think the system just didn't quite know, on some level, what to do with us.
Tracy, as a foster parent, what resources or support do you need?
I think the most important support is definitely from the agency and from family and friends. We have been very lucky, and all of the social workers that we have worked with at the department are very wonderful people. Anytime I have a question, I can send a text, I can make a phone call, and I've also made some really good close friends of other foster parents who are in the system. So I feel like we're one big family. We've been very, very lucky, very lucky. And also some of the other parents that we've had in the class that we were in. There was another same-sex couple, a male couple, and they have a placement now as well. And we're able to talk with them and discuss things as well.
Daryl, let me ask you the same question. What support do you need?
One of the things that we've experienced is there are so many different people that are attached to a case. There's lawyers and doctors and caseworkers and, you know, people that do evaluations for disabilities. There's so many people involved, which is good because the child needs the support, but you really need those sorts of things when you have a foster child come into your home because there's so many different needs that the child might have. So just having the system be able to provide the clinicians, the workers, training, those sorts of things is really helpful and really crucial. It can feel a bit invasive because there are so many people involved. So on a given day, you could have two workers and someone doing an evaluation in your home, and you have to take off work, and there's a lot of things to do in support of the child.
I want to make sure I'm following you. It's a nuanced point I think you were making. It's a good thing for the child that there are all these resources, but you said it can feel invasive.
It can be challenging. We have a child that's transitioning to our home from another foster care. There's day visits, there's overnights, there's meeting with the workers, meeting the biological family. So we've had to rearrange our lives just to make sure that this child is ready and we're ready to receive her.
Tracy, what advice would you give people who are considering becoming a foster parent?
Why not try it out? As far as you can do the training, you can contact a foster representative, call the state or the county, whatever county you're in, and talk to them. Because when my wife and I were still going through the training, we were still talking to our daughter, who was 8 at the time, how you feel about bringing children in. And for a long time, she would say, no, I don't want anybody in. I don't want to share my time. And then she was, yes, that would be great. And then no. And now, I mean, we have basically what's a 2-year-old running around the house that worships our older daughter. And it's just like they've been together forever. Get out of my room. Quit taking my toys. What are you doing? And it's just like a normal family.
Dara, what advice would you give someone who's considering becoming a foster parent?
I think one of the things I would want for someone is to, and this is hard, but I think know your blind spots or get to know your level of resiliency, your level of flexibility. It's a messy process. It would be lovely if it all was handled seamlessly, but it's a messy process. The families can have a bit of messiness around them. The system can have a bit of messiness around them. And then you have your own life to deal with. And if you come into it thinking that things will always work out in a certain way, you are bound to have challenges. So I think you should, you know, sort of assess your resilience, assess your flexibility, assess your tolerance for uncertainty. And if you feel like those you have somewhat of a handle on, you'll learn more along the way, then I think you're in a good place.
Have you surprised yourself with how resilient you are?
Sure. You know, after the first placement, after he went home, we said, there's no way we would do this again. There's no way that we would hurt like this again. But, you know, 8 kids later, we're still doing it. And yeah, surprised that we're still doing it and liking doing it. It's not out of a sense of obligation. It's out of a place of joy.
Well, I appreciate you all talking to us about it. I've learned a lot. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Darrow Brown and his husband foster children through Baltimore County. Tracy Horseman and her wife are foster parents in Harford County. If you're interested in more information about becoming a foster parent, we'll have links at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. I'm Sheila Cass. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.